Hey everybody, welcome to this special episode of Girl Talking Mas. I'm here with Kenya. Hey Kenya.
Hey guys.
Yes, we are super excited. We are talking to Jessica Royce. She is an assistant editor at Billboard Latin, and we are super excited to talk to her. Welcome, Jessica, to Girl Talking Mas.
Welcome, girl.
Yay! Thank you guys for having me.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we're super excited. You are just like on another level of doing some really cool things, and when I came across your page, I know I reached out to you right away, and I was like, just super excited for you because you were at your first Latin Billboard Awards, a few months ago, and able to share all the news from that. And I think that's why I came across your page, is because I was probably following Latin Billboard and was seeing what you were doing, and you're so amazing at everything you do. So yeah, so we were super excited to kind of highlight you and share your career and what you're doing with our Girl Talking Mas listeners.
That's amazing. Thank you guys for having me and for, scouting for me on the hashtag.
Yes, of course. Yes. We're so interested, like, with your feed and with everything you do. I think it's really important because nowadays, with all this social media and all this, we forget sometimes to, like, look at who's behind, the music industry.
Uh-huh. Definitely. And you guys, aside from working for Billboard Latin, she's also a creator of multiple online platforms, BulsoPop.com and Olonica News, which highlights your Nicaraguan culture, which I thought was amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so we love that.
Those are my babies.
Yes, those are your babies. And we're going to definitely talk to you more about those. But just because we're based in Texas, and one of the articles that I read that you wrote was one on Selena. And, Selena is near and dear to Texas, especially San Antonio. And so I kind of wanted to start off with part of your personal essay that you put out onto the Billboard site about her this past few months when it was her anniversary. And I'm going to quote you on this. It says, and this is after Selena passed away, you put, "In that moment, my world stopped. I know it sounds melodramatic, but Selena's music was part of my life since I was 4 years old. But it wasn't only Selena's music that captivated my little ears. It was her entire aura." I was like, oh my God.
I know, right? You got goosebumps and everything?
Yes, I got goosebumps. And I know what you I know what you're saying, because I felt the same way. Hearing that, I remember I was with one of my cousins and our hearts just dropped. We were just like, what? Like, no.
Yeah, because rhythm of her music is just so, like, powerful that you're, like, 2 years old and you're dancing, bidi bidi bum.
Yes,
you're, like, singing it.
And even if you're not from that generation, that's how powerful her music is.
Yeah.
Like, kids today, they didn't even, like, live it, and we did.
Yes.
And at least I did. I grew up with it. And kids today, like little kids, are just like, oh yeah, Selena's my favorite artist. And she's like not even here, And it's so awesome.
So we were very much moved by your personal essay that you so kindly shared on the Billboard Latin site. So you guys, we're gonna link it below so you guys can go and read it. But it's a very beautifully written, and we just wanted to say thank you for that because, we just feel like she's a part of Texas. So
thank you.
Yes. But tell us a little more about your upbringing, and has music always been a passion of yours? Like, how did this all start for you?
So I was born in Miami, Florida, and both of my parents are from Nicaragua. They left Nicaragua in 1979 when the whole war was happening over there. Mm-hmm. And they didn't go back until 1989. And then I was already born in 1989. I was 3 years old. Okay, don't do the math. I was 3 years old, and then I have two older brothers. So we went back. Like, my parents went back to Nicaragua after 10 years. And we went back, and I just, like, fell in love with the country and everything. And then I met my grandparents over there. They were all alive, all four of them when I was little. And my maternal grandfather, he used to play the clarinet. So I would always, like, sit next to him, when he was playing every summer. I would go, and he'll always have, like, a song for me. And then I was always, like, so intrigued. So then, through there, I started getting into, like, And, like, you know, in school and everything, I was in chorus. I was super involved with everything. I was in chorus. Yeah. I played the pianica, you know. I was in ballet. I played the clarinet also and everything. So music has and always will be a part of my life, you know, on that aspect.
Yeah.
And then my mom, too. My mom, like, she was always into, like, everything that she would listen to, I would listen to. That's how Selena came into my life when I was, like, a little girl.
Yes.
And even Juan Gabriel, and I'm here, like I said it in the article, you know, that I would, like, sing these songs about breakups, like, if I was going through, like, the biggest breakup of my life.
Yeah.
And I was, like, 5, you know?
But you felt it.
And that's all because of my mom. Like, we would imitate Juan Gabriel, like, we would put on the scarf. Like, me and my mom is very alcahueta, you know, like. Yeah, you know, so it was, I think I blame all of that on my mom's side of the family, you know, because of my grandfather and my mom, like, so that's where I guess all my love for music came up, because I like music a little bit more than I do, like, movies and TV and stuff,
yes.
Although I watch it, and I binge watch and everything, but not, like, with music, I'm like, I go to concerts, and I love supporting people, and, you know.
Yeah, and it's so funny because you actually did a write. You just did a actually, I think it was your. I saw you the other day on your stories, and you highlighted that you saw your article for the first time in Billboard magazine. Is that right?
Yes.
And it
yes,
was the was Pedro. Like a little, was it the Pedro Capo write up?
Yes, I interviewed him because his song Calma with Farruko is in the Hot 100.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool to see, like, Latinos in that, you know, in that chart.
He was just here in San Antonio, and Kenya and I went to his concert last week.
Him. It was so amazing.
We were, like, front row. We were, like, in the front, very front, you know, just singing with him. But he was amazing in concert. Yeah, we just saw him last week, and I was like, oh, my God. And then I saw your story, and you're like, my first Billboard magazine feature, and it's the Pedro Capo. And I was like, that's amazing.
I'm going to highlight something really important that I thought it was kind of shocking for me. Like, particularly, I don't pay to go to concerts that often unless the artist is someone I really, really love to hear, like, to hear sing or to, would want to watch him perform or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that we've lost the values of, like, concerts and all that because we already have YouTube, social media, and we lose the values of wanting to go see artists perform. And it was just so sad because he did an amazing show, and it was
It was pretty packed. It was pretty packed.
Yes.
I mean, but the Puerto Ricans came out for him here in San Antonio. I think every Puerto Rican in San Antonio came out.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yeah, for sure. But I felt like he could, like, you know, like, llenar un estadio.
He could have been in a way bigger venue. Yes. You're right. He could have filled up a way bigger venue with what he did.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you're totally right.
Where was it? It was like in a House of Blues type of thing?
Yeah, it was like a very smaller venue. I mean, still like a theater, I guess. Maybe like a smaller than a little bit Radio City Music Hall. You know, like small, like a smaller venue than that, but not like a stadium or anything.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, because I enjoyed it personally because it was not that big of a concert. Of course, I got a VIP treatment and show right in front of me.
Yes.
But I just feel that we don't take the time to go spend our time in concerts and all that. And that's what we take with us, you know, those memories.
Yeah.
Those feelings.
True.
It's like something like another level. I don't know.
Yeah, that's so true, Kenya.
Can you tell us more, Jessica, about the platforms you created, Pulso Pop News and
Alonica
News?
It's Alonica News. Well, I created both of them in 2015. So then Pulso Pop actually was born after my first layoff. Because, I mean, I've been lucky enough. I graduated from the School of Journalism at the Florida International University here in Miami.
Oh, wow.
And I've been like, you know, super blessed to start working, you know, when I graduated to start working in my field and everything. But it's a very, I would say, like, an unstable career, you know, just because there's so many competition and all that, you know. But it's amazing. Like, I love it. And whenever I'm, like, in between jobs, or, like, if I had a layoff, like, I'm always finding ways to, like, just continue my passion, you know? Mm-hmm. And so whether it's freelancing for someone or I guess creating websites, because that's how like Pulse of Pop was born after my first layoff. And I was, you know, the reason I did it is because I was a year and a half in this company. It was Miami-based, and I was their entertainment editor. And this was my first, like, paying job as a journalist after I graduated. And I remember we had the layoffs, the company shut down. And I had, you know, in that year and a half, I had established so many connections with, like, publicists and, you know, record labels and artists. And I was like, what am I going to do now? Like, I don't know what goes next. So, you know, while I was like, I would literally, that's how I found my next job, which was with Latin Times. But in between, when I was like, you know, looking for jobs, I was like, let me just create a blog. And then, you know, thanks for MySpace. I had like the website, you know,
for MySpace back in the day.
I had like the HTML skills and all that. So I created my own like blog, and I was very like, you know, looking on YouTube for tutorials and how to do this and do that. And then, you know, I thought of a name. And then I, you know, it was like a lot of like my investment, like time and money wise. But I was like, I'm just going to wing it. I was so happy opening up all the social media. And I'm like, I'm going to put all the social medias to be the same. That way everyone could find me like super easy everywhere. So I was like, you know, super excited. And what took me the longest was to think of a name. Because I had something like Fresco, or I don't know, I had so many like names, and I'm like, this sounds like a supermarket, or this sounds, you know, this sounds like this, this sounds like that, and it just, nothing was clicking.
Yeah.
And then it took me longer to think of a pop, because I'm like, my whole thing, like my whole little slogan was like, I just wanted to be like Latinx news in a heartbeat. Like, I thought that was cute.
I love that.
And then I was like, oh, you know, like, pulso de, you know, and I wanted to do, like, a Spanglish thing. So then pop from pop culture, and then pulso from, like, your heartbeat, your pulse.
Yeah.
And then that's how that was born. And then I started working in Latin Times and everything. So, you know, but I always had it, like, parallel. I was always like, you know, I started this. I'm not going to let it die. I'm not going to quit. And I'm just going to continue doing it, you know, even if I have to, like, feed it at nighttime or in the weekdays or days off.
Yeah, because that's your baby, you know? Mm-hmm. Something you created.
And then Alunica con la Royce, which is like the what it's project, because my last name is Royce, Nica is short for Nicaragüense. So if anything, it'll be like a lo nicaragüense con la Royce. Like kind of like saying a lo mexicano, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like short, you know, a lo Nica con la Royce. And then the reason I started that one is because I would go to Nicaragua every summer. You know, I've been going every year. And when I got older and I started working in the industry, and all my cousins and like everybody over there started seeing that I was like taking photos and interviewing people and everything, most of the people I know in Nicaragua are musicians. So they would ask me, they're like, hey, when I get famous, I want you to interview me. You know, and I'm like, but you don't need to, like, no, we don't need any of that. Like, I'm going to create a platform to support and highlight, you know, Nicaraguan talents.
That's awesome.
And that's how that one was born.
I love
that.
That's
amazing.
That is
so amazing. Like, by looking at the names, I would never imagine that, like, especially the Aloni.
Yeah, because it's more like Alonica news, especially, like, the social media. It's very, like, newsy. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're going to see a lot of stuff about, like, you know, politics.
That's what I was thinking. You know, I mean, I think it's just awesome that you kind of gave that as an outlet to your, you know, to the people there. For them to be on social media and everything, because I'm sure, like, that's probably not, like, a normal thing, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of talents over there. And, like, the only one that people really, like, know of is, like, Luis Enrique, the salsa singer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously, like, now there's more Nicas that are, like, stepping out and that are getting exposure. Like, there's Shakira Barrera, that she went to the SAG Awards, like, flaunting, like, her huge Nica flag.
Oh, yes, you know? I saw that.
Yeah, and she's more like a Latinx, like, Hispanic. She's Nicaraguan American.
Okay.
You know, but there's so many people in the industry. And I want to, you know, kind of put that in the forefront, kind of how you girls are doing with the podcast.
Yes.
And you want to, like, highlight all these cool girls doing stuff, you know.
That's awesome. So, yes. So you've had the opportunity to meet a lot of artists and interview them on the red carpets and everything like that. So how's that experience been, you know, since you just were a part of your first Latin Billboard Awards? Kind of just tell us like a little snapshot of how that was for you.
So this was my first Latin Billboards working with the Billboard team. This was actually like the fifth time I covered in a row.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
But, you know, this one was actually really cool because so every time I would go cover, like, not only the Latin Billboards, but also, like, Premios Juventud or Premio Lo Nuestro.
Sí.
I did Premios Tu Mundo, and then I've done, like, a bunch of, like, TV premieres, like Betty La Fea or, like, novelas. They have their little red carpet. So I've done a lot of, like, red carpet events aside the award shows.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was the first time that I wasn't on the reporter side. I was, like, on the carpet because they had me, I think it was called the Carpet Wrangler. And it was so cool because I got to wear, like, this, like, walkie-talkie. And then, like, everybody from the team was connected, like, the whole Billboard team. You know, everybody that was doing the Facebook Lives, like, everybody, the cameramen, we were all connected.
Amazing.
It was really cool. And then all I had to do was basically, like, kind of, like, I was at the entrance of the carpet. This is, like, my first time doing it as part of the Billboard team.
Yeah.
So I was at the entrance of the carpet, and I would advise everyone in the walkie-talkie, like, you know, like,
who's coming up next?
Maluma okay. just walked in.
Huh? Girl. That's my favorite right now, right there, just so you know.
Maluma,
cool. And everything he's doing. He's coming here in September, and I'm like, I will be at that concert, you know, I don't care what. I don't care. Nothing is going to keep me from Maluma.
So it was very cool. It was very, like, you know, J Balvin just walked in, and so-and-so is right behind
him. That's so dope.
So it was a nice experience.
Yeah.
But, you know, before that, I cover red carpets as the reporter.
Yes.
And at the beginning, it was, I don't remember my first red carpet, honestly. I don't remember my first red carpet, but it was maybe, like, in 2014.
Oh,
and
wow.
At the beginning, I would go, like, all decked out. Like, I would wear heels, and I would, you know, like, me hacía el pelo, and, like, my hair's curly. And I would go all, like, you know, coqueta and fachenta and everything. And then, like, that was, like, no, that was never again. Like, everybody on carpets wear sneakers. Like,
yes,
everyone.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
I noticed
all the PRs, the reporters, like, you know, and they all wear, like, their fancy dresses, but the majority of them are wearing sneakers.
Sneakers underneath. Yep, I've heard that, and I've seen that on a few of the carpets.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Because they wear for a long time. And then some of them are, like, super, like, hot, you know, because some of them are outside, some are inside, but it's so many people that even if you're in aire acondicionado, it gets really hot.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fun, and it's, like, a fun adrenaline, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so many artists that they bring you, like, to interview that sometimes you don't even know who most of them are because there's emerging artists, and then there's...
Yeah.
So what I've learned is that I try to just ask them, like, you know, I try to do, like, a fun game, you know, like, based on the theme of the award show. So it'll be, like, what was your favorite song growing up, and what was this, and can you imitate that? Like, I try to do fun games, and then... Because si no me voy a volver loca, like, oh, what is this guy promoting? What is she promoting? Where is she from?
Yeah.
Yes.
And everything's so fast.
Yes, definitely.
Like, till this date, like, you said you've been on 5 Billboard Awards and different kinds. Do you still get, like, nervous or, like, anxiety attacks from meeting new artists that you truly, like, love, and that you would never imagine you would meet them in person?
So the last time that happened... you know what I've noticed? I get nervous when they are artists that I grew up listening to. So,
yes.
For example, that happened to me when I interviewed Alejandro Sanz.
Ooh, you know, yes.
I got nervous before the interview, not like during. You know, I was super professional, like, during, and I was just myself, so it was, like, very fun. But I got nervous with him, and I got nervous with Chayanne. But, like, before the interview, I'm like, I can't believe it. I can't do this. I'm going to mess up.
But yes.
You know, not true. Like, once I'm sitting there, it's, like, it just, everything's, like, you know.
Flow is really easy. Like, yeah, you know what you're doing. It's just the nervousness before. Oh, my gosh.
So. But I do get nervous like that when they're people I grew up listening to. So it's kind of, like, ridiculous. Like, I get nervous over, like, Cristian Castro. And they're, like, you know. yeah, they're, like, mayorcitos.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that make me nervous.
Okay, Jessica, ya. Vamos a ponernos serias, okay?
Okay.
Una pregunta. Okay. We would love to know who are some of your favorite artists you've interviewed or met. Like, if you would choose your top three in the entire world that you've interviewed or met, who would they be?
So I really like De La Ghetto. I don't know if you guys know, he's, like, a Puerto Rican, like, reggaeton singer from like the old school. Like, he comes not so old school. He's like maybe after like the Daddy Yankee, the Don Omar.
Okay.
Like, he's after, but he's in there. He's definitely like one of the vieja escuela.
Uh-huh.
But like, you know.
Yeah.
So
I've heard of him. So, I don't know his like exact music, but I've heard of him. Yes.
Yes, I love De La Ghetto just because he's very like down to earth. He's very humble. We're both Virgos, so we're very like, we've been friends forever, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I liked him a lot. I like Alejandro Sanz because I love his music, and for me it was somebody like so inalcanzable. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, when am I ever gonna meet this guy, you know? And
yes.
Then I interviewed him.
Opportunity of a lifetime.
Yes, I interviewed him in 2016. And then I interviewed him this year also in Premio Lo Nuestro at the carpet. So that was, it was fun, like, reconnecting.
Yes.
and then I like Daddy Yankee, too.
Yeah, I love Daddy Yankee. I hear he's really, really nice.
He's really nice.
Have you ever met Karol G? That's my favorite.
Oh. Yes, I've met Karol G. I actually met Karol G. I actually interviewed her at Premios Juventud in 2015, I think. I think she was promoting her song with Bad Bunny, Ahora Me Llama.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So she was, it wasn't that one. I think it was Hello. Todavía was like before that one, you know? I think it was like one of her first ones. Yeah, so I mean, she's always been very nice. And even now that she has like todo este éxito, you know, and she's just like out there, like just girl power in every stage and everything. She just owns it. Like wherever she goes, it's like, damn, girl. And her album's amazing. And she's still like the same, like,
humble, right?
Yeah. She's very sweet, like, and J Balvin's like that, too. They're very, like, sweet, and they're very nice. And I remember this is, like, a fun anecdote that I like to share about J Balvin, because it just shows the type of person he is. Mm-hmm. So I remember I interviewed him when he was, you know, getting started, maybe, like, 2014, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very accessible. But then after he won the Grammy, It was very, like, you know, like, he would go to, like, certain media to do interviews. So, you know, he was very, like, you know, he would go to other, like, do interviews and stuff. And I remember that he passed by us in a red carpet after, you know, he had won the Grammy, after he was already, like, getting all the success. And he passed by us, and he told, like, all the digital medias that were there. And he's like, oh, I'll be back. But, you know, we were just thinking he's being nice. We're like, he's not going to be back. Because I think he had to go to, like, a live shooting with, like, Telemundo. You know, it was one of those things. That he had to do, like, a live thing at a red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he's never going to come back. Like, he's just saying that, you know, to kind of, like, calmarnos, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, something I realized that he did come back. He actually came back with, like, his entire team. And mind you, like, people are interviewing him. And, like, in the background, you see people already, like, rolling the red carpet because the red carpet had ended already.
Oh, my gosh.
But he actually came back to give interviews to, like, you know, all the digital websites. And that was really nice. Like, he's very humble. Like, and Karol G's the same way. So, yes, I've met him before.
That's awesome.
I love them. I love them, too.
Yeah,
they're both pretty amazing. Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's super cool.
I think that's why they have, you know, el éxito que tienen.
Sí.
Who they, like, just being humble and being yourself.
Yeah.
And that applies to everything, you know, not just, like, if you want to be a singer.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah,
you're right. And I think it shows. I think it does show in how, you know, how their fans appreciate them so much. So, yeah, I definitely agree. So, so your passion for your career, obviously music and culture, is very strong and inspiring. So how has, so I know you kind of all explained it, but just to kind of show the importance, how important has this digital media space been for you? Like, it's, I think it pretty much has made your career, you know, give you this opportunity and then giving you the opportunities to make your own platforms. But kind of tell us, like, how you have, like, you know, connected with the digital media space.
Oh my God. So I'm going to tell you guys another funny story.
Yes. tell us.
I feel like we should be sitting like together, like in the, you know, in the backyard.
Yes.
The mimosas.
Yes, ay, mimosas and margaritas. You will come to Miami, no problem.
Oh my God.
So
when I graduated, so I actually, when I was in FIU in the university, I was doing community news for the Miami Herald, which is like the newspaper here in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it, you know, because it was very like, I had to go out and report and interview people and fact check. And it was very like, it was a like hardcore reporting. And I really, really liked it. But I mean, I was good at it and everything. I got published in the newspaper. I love seeing my byline in the newspaper and everything.
Yes.
And I remember when I was graduating, one of my professors told me, she's like, hey, we have a job opportunity for you in a, not with the Herald, but like with another newspaper somewhere else in Florida. And, you know, that if I wanted to accept it, that I would have to relocate, that it was still in Florida, but I had to move because it was like a couple hours away from Miami. And I didn't have a game plan. And I just told her, yeah, I told her no. I'm like, no, I'm not going to take it. You know, I have something else in mind. But it was a lie. I did not have a game plan. So I was like for a long time, maybe like 7-8 months without a job in the industry. And, but I never regretted it because, you know, I was this whole time, I'm like, no, like, I want to do digital media. Like, you know, like, this was back in 2013 when I graduated, you know? And I was like, I just know digital media is going to be like, you know, this was before the influencers and Instagram and everything. Like, back then it was like Twitter, I think, you know?
That was it.
Everybody was so, like, focused on growing their Twitter account, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
And, but I was like, no, I'm just going to wing it and I'm going to find something. I mean, I have to get my foot in the digital, you know, media industry. And then that's where I've been all this time. But then I do get excited, like this, like you mentioned, when I saw my byline in like the magazine.
Yes.
It's so nice, you know, it's refreshing.
All that.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's very important because, you know, like kids nowadays, especially the generations coming up, like, they're all like, my nephew's like 9 and he plays on the, you know, his tablet. Like everything's like on the, so it's like, I, you know, the fact that my news and that people could read me like at their fingertips, and I feel like things I write are more visible through like a phone or like the computer than they are like, you know, like in print.
Yeah, and like, how amazing is, like, you're so right. How amazing is that? Like, your family can like look you up and read what you're writing right now. You know.
Uh huh.
That's so amazing. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, now they can hear you.
Yes, they can hear you too.
And now they can hear. Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, imagine if I would have stayed like, you know, in that setting, and then, you know, I'm publishing, but then it was like, I'm gonna send you the article I wrote through mail. You know, like, and it's true, it's faster. I could just be like, here's the link of that story I told you about, you know, that interview I did. So, yeah, I mean, it's super important. And I'm glad I followed my gut feeling.
That's like, what I'm saying. You followed, you know, you passed, like, you know, they always say, you know, if you, you know, when one door closes or if you don't take one opportunity, there's something bigger and better coming. And because you didn't take that opportunity, that even though it was a job right out of grad, you know, right out of college, you know, you didn't take it, but look at all these opportunities and doors that have opened for you, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and besides that, Jessica, I want to like tell you that listening to your story and to everything you've said so far, I feel that you achieving your goals, but you've also helped other people like achieve theirs, because with the platforms you created, I feel you gave all the local artists in Nicaragua a chance to, like, for us here in the U.S. or across the country to listen to them. And who knows, like, one of them can become famous because of your platform, or somebody can get inspired because of your story. You know, you're also, like, transmitting positive energy and all this good vibes and all this motivation through your story. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thank you. And it's true. Like, I'm not here, like, I don't have, like, a million followers. Like, I'm barely trying to get to 2,000 since I opened my Instagram, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, pero I'm, like, I'm just going to use, you know, because I have a lot of, like, yeah, like, I have, like, my following is really, like, small, but I have a lot of important people in the industry who are following me. You get me?
Yeah.
So that's what I love. And it's on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn as well. And that's what I love, because if I do something, like, if I did an interview, like you said, to some Nicaraguan, you know, artist that nobody knew about, and I share it because it's something I did, and, you know, it gets on people's radar. And you never know if, like, some, you know, big dog from, like, Sony that follows me is like, oh, wow, who's this guy? Let me get in touch with him. You never know. So, es como que mi granito de arena, you know, de aporto.
Yeah, for sure.
And besides that, it's really important because you've mentioned it right now, and you're not the only one that has mentioned this about the following. Like, I've always said, no matter how many followers you have, it doesn't describe you as a person, or it doesn't, that is not who you are, you know? Like, how many people follow you has nothing to do with what you do, with what you create, with what you are as a person.
Yeah, your passions.
Right.
With, like, huge account, yeah, like, it's cool to see a huge number, but you don't know, like, what...
Yeah, you don't know how
them to get them, or, like, what if they bought them or anything, like, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
No, quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. All those keywords. Oh,
my
gosh.
Para cerrar, otra pregunta seria.
Okay.
Kenya, her serious questions.
Yes. La pregunta del millón va.
I love her.
Thank you. I love you too. Esta pregunta te va a causar muchos conflictos. I wanted to know, not to shade anyone or like...
Name, you don't have to name, yeah, not, no name dropping.
Yeah, you don't have to name, but can you tell us a bad experience you've had with an artist or something like that?
Like, how did you get through, like, has there ever been like a negative experience and how did you get through that?
Yeah.
No, there's never been like a negative experience. It's more of anything, it's like, me myself, that maybe sometimes I interview people that I don't know about.
Okay.
You know, because it's like, you know, maybe it's like, let's say it happens mostly with like TV artists or like movie artists, because I'm more involved with like music stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So then, for example, like when they tell me, I don't know, you're gonna go interview, I don't know, so and so, you know, from Toy Story or something, you know, and like, I don't have, like, my knowledge with, like, TV and movies not that strong. Or, like, it happens a lot with telenovelas, you know? With, like,
okay,
when I go
yeah.
and I do color. And then it's just me. It's never, like, a bad experience. It's just me that I feel so, like, I could have done better, or I should have prepared myself better. Because once I'm there in front of the person, and I feel like I'm asking such basic questions, and then I just, and they answer, and they're nice, and everybody's nice, you know? But, like... But me, myself, I'm like, I get out of, like some of those junkets or, like, interview opportunities very, like, underwhelmed. And I'm like, why did it was so basic. I should have at least, like, binge-watched this, or I should have, like, done more, informed myself more, you know? But like, bad experiences, no. It's with, like, artists and celebrities, no. Like, everybody's been very, like, nice, and they're very, you know, some have their personalities. Like, they're very, like, outgoing, and you could, like... You feel, like I said, De La Ghetto and, like, Daddy Yankee, that you could just feel that they're, like, your friends de toda la vida. And then other people are, like, very professional, but they're never, like, I haven't met anyone yet that's, like, rude or anything.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, that is so brave.
That's
like,
good to
I'm
hear.
Glad you've never had that.
That's so good to hear.
I mean,
yeah,
but if anything, it's me that I'm, like, or, like, you know, and then I it's funny because all my friends, like, my squad, it's, like, it's like four of us that we all went to like elementary school together and middle school and high school. So we've been friends for like 20 years. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, oh, I interviewed so-and-so from this movie. And all of them, like, they all love watching TV. They all watch Netflix. Like, they're all more into that than music.
Oh, yeah.
They're like the other way around. And they're like, what? You interviewed this guy? I love her. Or that guy was in Broad City, or this girl's from here. Like, they know everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't know anything.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. But that's good. That's good to know, and that's good to hear. But yeah. But Jessica, we want to thank you so much for joining us on Girl Talking Mass. We loved hearing your story and your journey.
Was so much fun.
Yeah, we cannot wait. We're so excited to share this. And you guys, we want everybody to go follow you. So drop your pages. Let everybody know where they can follow you, how they can reach you and connect with you.
Yeah, so you guys can follow me. I'm trying to get to 2,000.
Yay! Everybody go follow Jessica.
You guys can follow my personal Instagram and Twitter also. It's la_voice, R-O-I-Z. And then you guys can follow my project, Pulso Pop Muse, and also Alonica Muse. That's on all social media, on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, everything. You can find me as Pulso Pop Muse and Alonica Muse. And also, if you guys want to read all my stories that I write for Billboard, I have the link in my bio, in my Instagram bio. So you guys could click on that to read what I'm writing about and what I'm covering and what I'm doing. So
yes, you guys. And we're gonna link it below too, so you guys can go and read some of her articles, because she's amazing at what she does. But thank you so much, Jessica. You know, we've been trying to get you on for a minute,
but it was so amazing to meet you and hear you and everything. Like, we had so much fun, and hopefully next time we will have a little coffee and get together.
Yes, if you ever come to San Antonio, you need to tell us. If they ever bring you to San Antonio for any reason, you let us know.
Yes. I just entered my Instagram and Kenya likes all my photos already. So
there she is.
I literally
saw
you, girl.
Oh, love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Jessica.
No, thank you guys too. And I love what you guys are doing too with Girl Talking Mass. It's kind of like the same concept with Pulso Pop, Alonica News. So
yes.
I love that. It's just, you know, supporting people. Like, that's what it's all about.
It is. Awesome. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.
Follow Jessica.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.